Our reading this morning from the Acts of the Apostles is a great reading. Paul has been journeying all around the territory, evangelizing, telling them the good news that this Jesus who the human family condemned and crucified and died was actually risen from the dead. And he's at a part in today's reading where he's in Greece, in Athens, and he's in the academic arena that they call the Areopagus. This is the area where all the intellectual people come to sit and think. That's all they do is think. Now, there's something good about thinking, but there's also something very dangerous about thinking. If all we do is keep things in our head, and they're never applied or tried, then you can pretty much do anything you want in your head. Like right now, I'm eating a double cheeseburger. And I just drip grease all down my front. That's not what's happening, though, but that's what's in my head. So sometimes what's in our head isn't always what's out here. As we're learning in school, right, every subject that you're learning, you sit and you listen to the theory of it. Your teacher gives you the theory. You go on your whiteboard or whatever, and you talk about it, give examples, and then you have to apply it. You have to try it out. And if it matches up, then you know you've got a winner. But if something goes wrong and you're thinking, no, this isn't adding up, this isn't making any sense, your intellect and your experience are supposed to be coming together. Just as sometimes in our mind we can be detached, so too in our reality we can be detached. That's why the both have to come together. Because sometimes, let's face it, our world isn't ideal. And so sometimes our experiences aren't ideal. If someone is supposed to love us, and all they do is ever ignore us, then our experience of love is detached. It's not right. It's broken. There's something wrong with it. So our experience in life, we're supposed to take and measure up against what we're learning in theory, and hopefully the two come together. This is what's happening with Paul in the Areopagus. His experience is absolutely blown his intellect right out of the water. Remember, Paul was extremely intellectual, extremely intelligent, and he was persecuting the Christians. Paul began in his head that this is the way it's supposed to be. And all of a sudden now, this Jesus rose from the dead. And you remember, Paul had this incredible encounter with this living God, not in the flesh, because God was already resurrected, but he had this incredible encounter with him as he was on the road, and Jesus spoke to him. So all of a sudden, something new is being revealed to Paul that his intellect couldn't grasp. Up until this point, his experience didn't speak to this. But now all of a sudden, this encounter brings together his experience and his intellect. All that he's ever known of the Old Testament all of a sudden now is enlightened, like a bulb going on, and all of a sudden things are starting to add up and make sense to him, which is why all of a sudden he's a Christian. And now not only a Christian, but he's going around trying to make more Christians. So here he is with the Greek people who are of high intellect, and he's trying to teach them about what he has experienced. Not just in theory, but in practice. And he's going through and he's listening to them, all of his experiences, that he used to do this and he used to be that, and he's very intelligent, comes from a wealthy family. He has all the criteria he needs to be a high educated person. But then he says, I had this encounter with the living God, and I want to tell you about him. And Paul is very smart, because he approaches them on their own terms. So he goes, as I said, to the Areopagus, which is the place of intellectual thought, and he goes around and he shows them all their gods. Remember, the Greeks have lots of gods. Not just one, but lots of them. And he points to the one that is labeled unknown God. And he says, I can tell you who that is. I encountered him. I experienced him. I knew about him in my mind, but I didn't know exactly what he looked like, the details of him, until he revealed himself to me. And as we heard, some of them believed, and some of them laughed at him, and some of them said, we're going to sit on the fence. We're not going to laugh at you, but we're not going to believe. Let's talk about this tomorrow. So you and I are always presented with the same scenario in our day-to-day life. Is this Jesus real? And what is our response to him? He's been made known to us. So even in our own hearts and minds, there is a place that is marked the unknown God. That is our deepest longing, our deepest hungers, our deepest fears. It's all labeled under this unknown God. And as we make our way through life, our experiences, our studying, our encounters with other people, it would be God's will that we would hear Paul say to you and to me as individuals, I can tell you what this unknown God is. I can tell you who can quench your deepest thirst, your most deep longings. I can tell you who that is. It isn't more stuff. It isn't more games. It isn't the ability to do whatever you want when you want. It is, none of that stuff will satisfy you. But sometimes, sadly, as humans, the only way we learn this is by mistake, trial and error. That we think, if I just get another friend, if I'm just more popular, then I won't feel lonely or I won't feel insecure. I'll feel like everyone else. And we get another and it just doesn't. All that means now is I need more time to spend with them. It doesn't really solve the problem. It doesn't fill that space. The space is created in us in our creation. When God made us, he made a place just for him to sit within us. And we spend most of our life trying to fill that space. Sadly, most of the time we fill it with stuff that doesn't work. But hopefully, when we get to the end of our journey, we will, like the Athenians, like the Greeks, be offered an opportunity from a Paul in our own life to say, you know, you've been searching, and I can tell you who it is. It is Jesus, risen from the dead. I have encountered him. I've experienced him. He is real. It isn't just about reading the scriptures, a story from some time, long time ago. It's up to us to make him real. And we do that through our sacraments, through our worship, through our prayers and all that stuff. So as we go through a week, we're invited again to think about what it takes to come to terms with this Jesus. Paul is offering us the same gospel, the same good news, the same message. What will be our response? If we are the Greeks in that reading, will we be the ones that say, I believe, sign me up, I'm all in? Or will we be the ones that laugh and say, oh, that's just funny, that's just funny business? Or will we be the ones that sit on the fence and say, well, you know, it sounds nice, I'm interested, but I'm not willing to commit. Let's talk about it later. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us come to great conviction in the one who rose from the dead and loves us so much that he gave his very life for us.